We want to continue with where we left last Saturday. It gives me great pleasure to be here, by the way. I'm really excited to be here. I love the Word of God. I don't know about you, but me, I love the Word of God. You know, when I was a pastor in Valley Road, 206, 207, 208, part of 208, part of 206, then the whole of 207, one of the things we used to do, or I loved doing, was Bible exposition down in McBride Hall. And we did quite and some work there, and we thank God. The last one I did was the book of Judges, 2013, just before we went for elections, and I cannot forget the book of Judges. So practical for the season. It was so practical for the season. Acts of Apostles is another book that I love. I mean, when you do every book of the Bible, you think this is the best book in the world. That is the amazing thing about Scripture. So the Acts of Apostles, I love it. I've taught it as a course when I was teaching in Bible school. I have read it so many times, but it's always new. So last Saturday, we started looking chapter 20, and we read the whole of it. We looked at, the chapter we have divided into four parts. The first part is where we see Paul. The first part is where we see Paul's ministry in the region of Macedonia. After he concludes he's concluding his third missionary journey. And so after quite harassment in Ephesus, the guy is rescued from the people who were harassing him. So he goes to Macedonia. But not before he encourages the believers from Ephesus. From Ephesus. So he has a ministry to do in Macedonia. We see that verse 1 to verse 5 to verse 6. Then verse 7 to verse 12, he has some ministry in Troas. And we say this is a very conspicuous city for Paul, because several things happened in Troas which are very clear to us, isn't it? Sidio? Yeah, Troas. We know how Troas was for him. And then we looked, so those are two. Then verse 13 to verse 35 is basically the farewell, Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. And then 36, and the few verses that remain there, it is what we can call the conclusion. So Paul is concluding his third missionary journey. He has done the first, the second, this is the third, and he will not come back to this region again. So we can read again, just to recap what we did. We can read again we looked at verse 18 also to verse 21, that this farewell message for Paul is also divided into three. In other words, he speaks a sermon. He preaches a sermon to the elders that gather at Miletus. And this sermon has three parts: a review of his ministry in Ephesus for the past 3 years, which he does, verse 18 to verse 21, which we did. Then secondly, he describes his present situation to the believers to the elders, those Ephesian elders. And then thirdly, he describes to them the future responsibilities of the elders at Ephesus. And then verse 36 to verse 38, he does the conclusion. And that's what we want to look at today. We looked at the first part, but let's read again verse 18 all the way. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 not to neglect one thing: public reading of Scripture. This is an heart that I hope, or a practice that I pray, will also be born here: public reading of Scripture. So we'll read from verse 18 all the way. Let's read from verse 13 so that we get the whole flow of the message to the Ephesian elders. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made his arrangement because he was going there on foot. When we met at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day we set sail from there and arrived at off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared both to Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and of all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of this church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage hoofs will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the ones of the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and he prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we ask again, may you speak to our hearts, each one of us, from these pages of your word. Bring them out, Lord, and may you lay them in our hearts. May they transform us. May they put us on fire for the kingdom of God. And may they draw us closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a great reading. I don't know what goes through your mind when you hear the word of God being read like that. Paul, at Miletus, as we said last Saturday, sends for the elders from Ephesus, the churches in Ephesus, to come. And I can imagine there was quite a group of elders representing various churches that he had planted in the region of Ephesus. And when they come, Paul preaches to them, as we said last Sunday. And one of the things that he does in his sermon is he reviews with them his ministry for the last 3 years in that region. You can imagine the great apostle offering himself to concentrate in one place for 3 years. That was quite something. When writing to the believers in Corinth, I think in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he tells them, I want them to come, but I have changed my plans. I need to stay in Ephesus a little bit more because a great door for effective ministry has been opened. And you can sense Paul is sensing that something, or the environment is ripe for him to make some impact. He goes to even the greater length of hiring a whore like this that belonged to Tyrannus. For how many years? 2 years. And he pours his life in teaching the believers the word of God, like we are doing here. At least this one I understand you have done it for 6 years. Now note, when Paul did this consistently for 2 years, the great apostle, there was great evidence of the presence and the power of God. The Bible says the power was so clear when you read chapter 19 that even handkerchiefs that Paul would pray for, you would take them home, place them on the sick, and they would get well. What a great ministry. Friends, we don't just concentrate for nothing to do work like this. My prayer is that our heart will sense that God is there for present, and this is the right time for us to do this work. I can tell you without any shadow of doubt, for the few months I've been at Valley Road, I can sense some presence of God in this compound, in this place. Hallelujah. I don't know for how long I'll be in Valley Road as I've continued to share these 6 things that God has put in our hearts, but I can sense something will happen in this Valley Road. God will do something for as many as will open their hearts. We believe God will do something. Hallelujah. So Paul calls the believers, these elders, and he discusses with them, as we said last Saturday. From verse 18, Paul tells the elders, they knew. He says, you are a witness of how I lived among you from the first day I stepped into the province of Asia. In other words, his life was open. It was like a letter to be read that he writes again in the book of Corinthians. That believer's life should be a life that is open, like a letter that is to be read to other people. Brothers and sisters, we are saying we must stop living complicated lives, where you live a life where no one knows you. You are one person in the place of work or in college, you are another person at home, you are another person in church. Please be one person. Human beings have a capacity to act. Please don't act. Writing to the Thessalonians, Paul tells them, brothers, you know that your ministry is, our ministry among you is being talked about all over the world. He says, because when we came to you, we did not only share the gospel of God, but we also shared our own lives. I can tell you one of the reasons why the man called David is called a man after God's own heart is because he was a predictable man. He shared his life with his people. Live a life where people don't have to ask questions about who is he. They already know who you are. Hallelujah. So Paul tells the believers, one, he says, I served the Lord with great humility. What do people see when you are serving the Lord in Saturday PM? When you are serving God in your place of work, when you are serving God at home, because we are in full-time service for God wherever we are, what is it that people see? Do they see humility? Or do they see what? The opposite. Pride. Difficulty. How do people describe you? A hissy person, a complicated person. Sometimes it's good to ask your friends, who do people say I am? Jesus did the same. He asked his disciples while they were somewhere in seclusion, who do you hear people say I am? And they said, oh, 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 you know. And you, who do you say I am? It's good, it's recommended that sometimes we ask for an evaluation from your friends. I hear there is a secret one in the places of work that is called 360. Something like that, where people in secret say who you are. Paul says, I served the Lord with great humility. He says, I served the Lord with tears. Hallelujah. With what? Paul would be affected by the life of the believers, the life of the environment in which he preached. You must be a man who has a soft heart that can be touched by the issues of people. Don't be too hard. Some people are difficult. Even in the ministry, may the Lord make you soft. May the Lord make you soft. May you be a man and a woman who can be touched by the needs of people. Hallelujah. God loves people more than anything. Some people only cry when they get a surprise of money in their account. Or they cry when they have bought a house or, you know, or something. Please, all these things will not carry them to heaven. They will not even be written in a eulogy. God loves people more than anything. May the needs and the misery of people, the lostness of people, may it touch us that we can cry to God on their behalf. When we see the way people are suffering, we can cry to God for solutions and that God may deliver them. Hallelujah. However, Paul also tells the believers or the elders in Ephesus that they knew that is in his ministry he was opposed by his own brothers. He tells them, you know, even in all this, I was still. Friends, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how well God, how much God uses you. It doesn't matter how much your soft your heart is. It doesn't matter how good you are to people. Please know, some people will always be against you. Hallelujah. Some people will always be against you. Even here in Valley Road. Even as I share the vision that I'm sharing of the six things that God would want us to do, I'm not blind to the fact that some people will not accept what I'm saying. I would be surprised if some don't. At least for the 13 or so years that I've served in Sitam, sometimes I've cried tears, not tears of tears, both of feeling mercy to people, crying for people and many things, but those tears of betrayal, they go hard in hard. Paul also says he preached and taught in that region, both in public and from house to house. This man is amazing. Many times I scratch my head, ask myself, what level of commitment to the gospel is this? No, seriously. This man was so committed to the gospel. Just study the life of Paul, you will be shocked. But as we are going to see, the main reason why Paul is committed to the gospel like this is because of the manner of his calling to this gospel. Wherever Paul is confronted to defend who he is and why he is doing what he is doing, just read all of them without being in a hurry or showing any form of hurry of being in a hurry. Paul repeats to everyone his experience on the road to Damascus that God spoke to me. He says, I heard his voice. He appeared to me and he commissioned me to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He even told him that he is going to suffer greatly for this. However, he also tells him that you represent me before kings. The same ghost fellow that he was opposing and killed people for, now he was the one to propagate it. I want to say here, friends, we'll be saying it down here, and it says it very clearly, but I want to say it here. How far your ministry will go, how committed you'll be to your ministry, to your job, whatever it is that God has placed in your heart, you young people who are listening to me, if you are going to spend your life completely, spend and be spent in that thing, there must be a clear calling from God. Not from the church, not love for money. There must be a conviction. There must be a clear calling from God. So I pray that God's calling on you will be clear. Either to be a teacher, to be a doctor, whatever it is, please get hold of God. Get hold of God. Hallelujah. Look at all the men and women of in scripture and in history who made a great mark in their generation. All of them had a personal encounter with God that was so clear. Talk of Moses and the burning bush. Even Joshua, though he had seen the hand of God and he had lived under the shadow of Moses for many years, when God gave him the mandate to therefore lead the children of Israel into occupying the promised land, God appeared to him. Just like Moses, he told him, remove your shoes, for where you are standing is holy ground. Talk of Jeremiah, talk of Jeremiah, talk of Isaiah. I am letting you know today how far you will go, how much you will be committed to the things of God and to that career will depend on your personal conviction of your encounter with God, not on the level of your education. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Paul teaches them publicly and house to house. He never left any stone unturned, as they tell us. He did it thoroughly. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I also can tell you that I'm preaching. Since 95, I've been a full-time pastor because I had a call from God. I had it when I was in high school. I had it when I was in the university. I came thinking that I want to go to Bible school. I was enticed by going to look for a job to get money like anyone else. But thank God, in 1995, he captured me, you know, never to return. And I'm not in this ministry for money. I'm not here for fame. I'm here to do what God has called you to do, called me to do. That's why I do this work without any fear, even here in Valley Road. I'm not here to please anybody. I'm here to say what God has called me to say. Hallelujah. Let's commit ourselves to the things of God. May the God of Paul be our God. May the God of the apostles be our God. He also says he declared the gospel, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. What a man. The gospel is not a Kikuyu gospel. The gospel is not a Luo gospel. The gospel is not a Kenyan gospel. The gospel is for all peoples everywhere. Therefore, our eyes need to be opened. As God sends us to US, as God sends us to UK or wherever he sends us, we are not just going there to make money. We are going there as missionaries to preach the good news of the kingdom. And I can tell you this for free. Some of you will be called to those countries. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you will be called. Now, I was so excited. Yesterday, I met someone in the office who came for a prayer. For prayer. And a testimony of what God has done. A young person. Very young indeed. 25 years of age. And this week, she got a visa to travel to Germany, I can tell you, for a whole year. God is at work. Please ask God to place you somewhere strategically to make a difference for his kingdom. Amen. As you look for jobs, don't just take any job. Ask God to place you strategically in a place where you can make maximum impact for the kingdom of God. Your eyes, your ears, your everything need to be centered on the kingdom first. The Bible says all these other things will follow you as you seek first the kingdom of God. What is your priority? Even in choice of careers these days, those who have been called and know their God, I pray that you choose your career in a way that you are targeting a certain group of people to know Jesus. And if you're already there, please pray that God will open your eyes to your environment around there. So that like Paul, we can also be able to say the same. Paul describes his present situation from verse 22. From verse 22, Paul describes to the Ephesian elders he says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. That is the present situation of Paul. One of the things you note here is that Paul, Apostle Paul, was always led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Was always led by the Holy Spirit. So he says, number one, he says, I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit, when you read the life of Paul, when you read about the life of Paul, the Holy Spirit has always warned him that you will face both prison and hardships in Jerusalem, and he says in other cities as well that he may visit. Paul had heard the voice of the Lord, not only here, but many times in his ministry. What a life. Now, please, I want you to look at your life as a Christian. And look at those instances where you can be able to say, God spoke to me. I am here because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. For me, he started speaking to me many years ago when I was in primary school. I remember where I was standing just before we did class seven exams. There was no class eight those days. I was standing, what I was wearing, when it was so clear in my spirit that only God is going to help me to go to high school. You know, God has spoken to me so many times. Paul began with God on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. He says, I heard the voice of the Lord. At Antioch, one of the disciples were praying and fasting. In Acts chapter 13, Luke writes and says, the believers heard a voice from God saying, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have for them to do. In Troas, where they were in their second missionary journey, the Bible tells us, at night Paul had a dream. In this dream, he saw a man from Macedonia beckoning him or calling him. And when he woke up, he gathered his companion and said, the Holy Spirit is saying, let's go to Macedonia. He says there that, you know, the Holy Spirit had kept them from during ministry in that area, when you read Acts chapter 16, when they went to Macedonia, to Philippi, the ground was ready. God knows where the ground is ready. So he calls him, and when he goes there, Lydia gets saved. You know, in that jail, the jailer gets saved. The slave girl gets, many things happen. And Paul establishes a great church in that region. Not only here, friends, you read in Jerusalem, when he goes there, he is caught. Many things happen, but where he is caught, when he is caught and he is defending himself, then he says, it is written that again the Holy Spirit or God appeared to him at night, telling him, Paul, do not fear, confessing me to these people. He says, you will not die, but you will also testify to me, to those in Rome. You can imagine what courage that Paul gets, even in the midst of being beaten and suffering. Brethren, I'm saying and I'm repeating myself, how much you're going to enjoy ministry, how effective your ministry will depend on your personal calling. Not just the original calling, but the continuous hearing of the voice of God. Hallelujah. Continuous hearing of the voice of God. Don't hear the voice of your friends. Don't hear the voice of your parents. Don't hear the voice of your pastor. Hear the voice of God. And this will demand a close walk with God. Used to sing when I was young, in the 70s, the revival, Natengeneza Maisha Yagu na Bwana. Please get to build your life with God. Get to build your life with who? With God. Get hold of God. Let God direct your life. Let God speak to you. Don't copy others. Don't do what your parents are just saying you're doing just to obey. Don't just do any business. Don't just leave the country. Don't just be in the country. Let God direct your life. Let God move your life. Not generally, specifically. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what has kept me going as a Christian. With all these movements in Sitam, this is what has kept me going. When I was here, of course, before I came here, when I was at Park, and I could sense like my time was over, and I didn't know what to do, I started praying and seeking the face of the Lord. Fasting. And I'll never forget one very early morning. The principal then called Kirk Kofeld came with another guy, another man from, I think, Trinity University in Canada. This guy was an academic dean there for 10 years. So in that mood of prayer and fasting, this guy comes in the morning to greet me in the office. I used to go to the office very early in the morning. So Kirk decided then to come to introduce this man to me. When this guy was told that this is the academic dean, he didn't even sit. He didn't sit in my office. He didn't even seek to know who I am. He told me very clear words, which made me close my office and almost cry. Because he just told me, he didn't say young man, but he told me, please make sure that the rigors of this office do not kill your calling. And he left. That was a confirmation that my teaching ministry is coming to an end. That's how I came to Valley Road. Again, I didn't apply to come to Valley Road. I was told to apply to come. Another indication that God is at work. When I came here, I was enjoying ministry, my friend, preaching. That time I was young, I had energy, you know. That time I was young, I was vibrant. Now I'm getting old. Then our senior pastor, then Bishop Ogide, calls me to the office, early 208. And I can tell you, I did not know that he was calling me to tell me now that the council and said I go to go. I told him, me, pastor, I have not heard from God. No, seriously, I told him that one, I will obey the council, but I have not heard. So when I went home, I went to tell the Lord, he's with my wife. This is what pastor said, that the council has said. Then Lord said, now I understand. I had a dream last night. And we were all packing, but I didn't know where we were going. Me, I think. Hallelujah. I can tell you stories and stories. When you were leaving God, going to coming to head office, you know, God spoke to us again. A man came all the way from Kaimosi, you know, somewhere in Western. They came, a lady and a man with a small kid. They came all the way to God. Very early in the morning on Saturday. And on Sunday, we don't see people. But now someone has come from so far, you want to listen to them because they want to see the city pass. Okay. So they came. And then this lady, they explained, we have come all the way from Kakamega, from Kaimosi. We didn't go anywhere else. We don't know Nairobi. You know, we asked, we were dropped here because we have a message for the senior pastor. You are the senior pastor. See, I am the senior pastor. So he said, it was so simple. He said, God has told us to tell you that he will promote you. Now, what made me think that it was not anything is because they asked for fare back. So, they were given fare and I forgot. Low and below. 1 or 2 months after that, to cut the long story short, I was in head office. You know what, friends, I'm saying? Even coming to Valley Road, even going to Thika, let me tell you, friends, this ministry, you will enjoy it, you will stand firm for the Lord, you will spend and be spent in it if you have a witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Hallelujah. I hope God will help you, that you will get hold of him and he will speak to us. Paul also is warned by the Spirit. Paul is warned by the Spirit of the persecutions that are awaiting him in Jerusalem. Now, of course, Paul prays for them, as we have read. Then he leaves. He is on the way to Jerusalem. He reaches to a place called Caesarea on his way to Jerusalem. When you read Acts chapter 19, yes, chapter 19, to Caesarea. And there, the Bible tells us he met a prophet called Agabus. What does Agabus do? He takes a belt and he ties himself and he says, the owner of this belt, this is what is going to happen to him when he reaches Jerusalem. And the brethren come and tell Paul, please, Paul, there is trouble for you in. But Paul, God had spoken to him. He tells you, you brethren, stop breaking my heart. I am ready not only to suffer in Jerusalem, but to die for the gospel. And Paul leaves for Jerusalem. What a man. What a man. What a man. Friends, in Jerusalem, Paul suffers. He is held in Caesarea for another 2 years in prison. Then he is put in the ship, taken wherever, tried many times, goes to Rome. Finally, he will die in Rome for the gospel. But what this underlines for us is persecutions are part of the blessing in the ministry. Hallelujah. Suffering is part of blessing in the ministry. So do not be surprised when you suffer. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in this world, telling his disciples, you will suffer many troubles. But he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. When we have heard the voice of God, When we obey the voice of God at whatever, you know, against whatever forces of darkness, please know that you will suffer. And please be encouraged that suffering is part of the blessing. What I'm saying, brethren, is may we learn to hear the voice of God in our ministry. And we must not move until God has said we move. Amen. And I'm saying also that may we, as it is our one of the items that we are trusting God for, may we experience authentic presence of God in our walk with Him. When we go through suffering, may we not go through suffering because we have sinned or because we have swindled people money or because we have walked in pretense and disobedience. But may we suffer because of the name of Jesus. Thirdly, Paul tells the Romans, the Ephesian elders, he says, I have a race to finish and a task to complete. That's what he tells them, isn't it? Did we read that? Now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul says his main concern here is twofold. One, to finish the race. Number two, to complete the task. Despite the persecutions, despite the troubles from his own brothers, despite the fears, Paul was determined to finish the race set before him. And brothers, I'm saying, may we set our minds to finish this race that God has set before us. Hallelujah. We have a race to run. There is a song that sings like that, eh? There's a race, I must run. There are victories to be won. God, give me power. Lord, give me power. Every hour to remain true. There is a race we must finish. This race of salvation that we started with God, we must finish. So we must focus ourselves. We must focus on finishing the race. By the way, it is really not who becomes number one. It is finishing the race. I'll never forget that lady in, was it in a marathon? Was it 2015 or 2016? This lady who energy failed her when she was seeing the finishing line. I don't know if you can remember that clip. It was inspiring the whole world. She couldn't just move, but she crawled to the finish line. Even if we are limping, let us come finish the race. Hallelujah. Let us fight to finish what? The race. Hallelujah. Let us put everything together within us to finish the race. The pressure may be much, but we will finish the race in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Finish the race that God has given you. Maybe school is a race. You are doing it for God because you need that certificate. You need that degree. Please finish that race as well. Complete the task as well. Paul says he has a task to do what? To complete. And he says his task in the region of Asia Minor was complete. Hallelujah. I can tell you that in Thika town, we completed our task. That at least there are some. You know how I knew that God was finishing with my, I didn't know he was finishing with me in Thika town. How I knew is because, you know, one of the things we were fighting for is to buy land. And we had taken this land from the owner, 5-acre piece of land. The month, I think it's in March, when we were told about these changes, in February is when we were able to pay the owner the remaining amount PAP. That's when we got the title deed. 18th of December, we got the title deed. But somewhere in February, some delays. But February, we had the title in our safe, in head office. And in March, marching orders to leave. At least I knew that the work was complete. We had gotten a power, we had gotten electricity, we had gotten a perimeter wall, we had gotten congregation to begin 2 services from the first Sunday of February. We had reached at least about 1,300 people. Hallelujah. You need to visit Thika Town. It's the most beautiful campus in Sitam, I can tell you. The most beautiful. Excellently done. With a touch of excellence, God gave us grace. But complete your work. I have begun some work here, task here, which I need to complete. And I believe I will complete. The task that God has given me in that office, please complete it. Don't leave it halfway. Complete it. Because you are serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Complete it. Complete it. Because God has given it to you. You know, the more you become lazy, don't finish the task, the more you will stay in that office that you don't like. True. Until you finish, you can't leave school. So those who are in school, please, the way out of school is finish the task. And we have also the task of completing the work that God has given us. Now, Paul says, none of the elders will see him again. None will see him. You know what, friends? This is completeness. This is the reality of our walk with God. Whatever we are doing, we put energy, we put strength, we put everything because we know it will come to an end one of these days. I wish I did more at Thika Town. I wish I did more at Gong. I wish I did more at head office. I wish I stayed in park longer. I don't know how long you'll be in that place. Please do your best because you'll leave. Anything that has a beginning, they say, as what? Even in this life, we are not here forever. The curtains will close. There will be some finality. If you're in your 20s, I told you the other day, please maximize your life in your 20s. It never that energy will not come back. Maximize it. This now when, you know, before you're married, maybe you are 23, 24, 25, 28, 27, whatever, you are not married and you are saying, oh, when will this singlehood head? Please utilize your singlehood. When it comes to an head. Tim, tell them. Where is your wife? I'll go up, Mrs. Kelly. Oh, see somewhere. She will tell you. The ladies who are not married and you want to get married soon, she will tell you. And he is here. For her to get out of that house, to spread out, she has to get permission. And it can be denied. It is true. They can be denied. Last December, my wife went home to greet her mother to stay there a bit. After 2 days, I was very lonely. I took my phone. No, I'm serious. I called in the evening. I was so lonely. I called. I told her, come back tomorrow. Not requesting. Come back. Because I don't want to be alone. For men, loneliness is bad. You ladies can manage. As we can. As we can. Please know that one of these days, that curtain will never to reverse. It is never reversible. Paul says, Kwaheri, I'm not seeing you. Then he says another statement that is indeed a great statement. He says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Can you say that in your office? Can you say that in your village? Can you say that where you live? This is Paul. He says he has preached the whole will of God. This is where the full gospel came. Some versions you will see say, I have preached the whole gospel. The full gospel. This is where the full gospel churches came from. Please, again, when God calls us to preach, let us preach the whole gospel. Amen. And he says the content of his preaching was all God's will, God's purpose, God's plan. And I can tell you, this is the interest of every believer or every minister in the ministry, to communicate the will of God to mankind. And Paul communicated this by teaching, proclaiming, declaring, testifying. Whatever it is, please let's do it to ensure that the word of God is understood and grasped by people. Hallelujah. Brethren, we have a race to run. We have a task to. At least for Paul, he is so proud. When you read the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And he says, I have kept the faith. Verse 8 says, and now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge has kept for me. But thank God, he says, not only for me, but for all who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a man. You can see why Bible expositions are good, isn't it? Excellent. Then Paul talks about the future of Ephesians elders, verse 28 to verse 35. And he tells the leaders of the church there, the elders, the church leaders, he tells them several things. Number one, he tells them, keep watch over yourselves. He says, I am going. But please, when you are left in this place of Ephesus as leaders of the church, and Paul is also speaking to the leaders today because the Bible is relevant today to us. He says, watch over yourselves. Watch over your lives. Hallelujah. Let us watch over our lives as well. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves. Paul tells Timothy the same message when you read the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16. He says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. He says, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying this evening, let us watch our lives closely and carefully. As Paul tells his son Timothy, let us also purpose to set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Come back to yourself and watch over your prayer life. Watch over your study of God's word. Watch of what comes out of your mouth. Is it to encourage or to discourage? Is it to glorify God or to glorify the enemy? Watch what lies in your head, in your mind. What do you accommodate in your head? Watch over your life. Who are you at night? Who are you in your home? Who are you in the place of work? Who are you? Watch over your watch over your life. Watch over your life. Talking about leaders and all the believers, please evaluate your life. The person we know, let it be the same person who you are before God. Then when you know who you are before God and your life is held by God, please hold on to the truth. Pray, not because it's a season of prayer and fasting. You can have your own prayer and fasting schedule. Build your life. Hallelujah. Be a strong believer from within. A man who cannot be moved by any form of doctrine. Keep watch over yourselves. Then secondly, Paul tells the believers, or the leaders, watch over the flock of God. This is a call to all the leaders, including the leaders of Saturday PM and all the ends of departments and committee heads, and all of us who are leaders wherever we are. The Bible is saying we do what? Keep watch over the flock of God. Believers are called the sheep, the flock. And he says, it is the Holy Spirit who has made them overseers. It's not the church. It's not Satan. It's not the committee that appointed you. It is God who has appointed you and made you an overseer to ensure that the believers are fed well and they are living well. Hallelujah. The elders and to guard first themselves before they can guard the flock. Because we can only give what we have. We can only duplicate ourselves. They say that they reproduce after themselves. You only give birth to who you are. Hallelujah. Thirdly, he says, be shepherds of the church of God. And he says, God bought the church with his own blood. I mean, Paul is trying to tell the believers, the elders in Ephesus, that this is not just a cheap something. You know something that is so expensive? Extremely expensive? You will take extra care over it. Paul is trying to tell the Ephesians of elders, elders, the Holy Spirit has put you as overseers. And please know that for this sheep, for everyone who gets saved, Jesus died for them on the cross. He bought them with his own blood. One thing you will notice about Paul is every believer counts, including Philemon. Read the book of Philemon. It's a small book, my friend, but it's in the Bible. But it's written just because of someone, a slave, that Paul converted when they met in prison together. And he writes to his friend telling him, please accept him. Because now he has been washed by the blood of Jesus. He is a saint. When someone gets saved, if they are rich, if they are poor, if they are young, if they are old, those are members of the body of Christ that Jesus died for. Therefore, let us shepherd them. Shepherding means, you know that we are there to lead like a shepherd does. We are there to feed. We are there to do everything to make sure the body of Christ is growing and is protected. Praise the name of the Lord. The church owed by God. The church is owed by God. And it's a privilege for us to shepherd, or to be called pastors, to be called leaders, to shepherd the flock of God. It is extremely rare, important work for us. Then he also tells him, guard the flock. Tells him, guard the flock from false teachers. Says, when I leave, salvage hoofs will come, clothed in sheep's clothes skin, and they are going to devour the sheep. He says, guard the flock from false teachers, both from within and without. I can tell you, friends, false teachers are terrible. A lot of us pastors who are pastors, we are called, you know how Paul describes them? They are describes them as salvage hoofs. He says they would secretly do a great harm to the sheep. And of course, some false people with false doctrine would have been among them. Paul and warned them, he says, I had warned you, I have warned you again and again in tears. In other words, solemnly, solemnly, that these will come. And he says, some will come, and their focus is to get some sheep from among you so that they can follow them. In other words, their focus is to break the church, to have their own part of the flock by planting some funny, funny things. As a pastor, I thank God, the senior pastor here, I'm privileged to God who preaches on our pulpits. That's why I pray for the spirit of discernment, that whoever is allowed to start there is of sound doctrine. Atapatia kodo, some funny food, you know? And that our pastors and our leaders, we are also, you know, alert that all of them are after God alone and feeding the sheep. But if I notice something is not right, I will not hesitate to tell people, stop ministry. You can't step on pulpit. You know you can't do that. Where I can't, the elders will do. But we cannot joke with the church, the believers that Jesus bought for. So in case you feel troubled by anybody because there are many salvage hoops, even in Valley Road, please let us know. And you'll deal with them accordingly. Hallelujah. Paul concludes, and we want to conclude verse 36 to verse 38. Paul committed, the Bible tells me, that tells us that he committed the believers, the elders, to God and to the word of his grace. Hallelujah. To God and to the word of his grace. We can only move and do things by the unmerited favor of God. So he commits them to God and to his unmerited favor, his grace. That this would build them up and indeed lead them to an inheritance among those who are saved. That God will package them through his power and his grace and deliver them to inherit eternal life. Paul also says, as he concludes, that they should follow the example of Paul's hard work. He says he's hard and provided for all his needs and those of his friends in the ministry. Tells them, work hard. And that's what I'm saying here also, friends. Let us work hard. Ministry requires hard work, not lazy people. Kingdom of God requires hard work. The worship that was happening here was hard work, isn't it? Thirdly, it tells them they need to mind and take care of the needs of the needs of the poor and the needy. It says, mind the needy and the poor amongst you. As you work hard, it reminds them that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Then we see here that the elders deeply loved Paul, and he loved them too. And this is portrayed by the embracing, the weeping, and the kissing. What a great man. You know, these guys loved him more than the Jews. These Gentiles loved Paul more than the Jews, who are harassing him moreover. Please find the hedge of your ministry, where your ministry belongs, where you are loved. Most likely, that is where your ministry is. They loved Paul. My prayer is that also you guys will love me as I love you as well. I am serious. This is practical ministry. Not that I am, even before I leave, you are praying, God, take that guy out of Valley Road, you know. But my prayer is that you will be saying, God, how can you take him from Valley Road now? My prayer is that where you work, the day you are told you are leaving, people will cry. People will weep. People will kiss you. People will regret that you are leaving. The others, you people will be saying, thank God. May that not be you. May that not be me. Let's not be an headache to people. Let us be a blessing to people. Hallelujah. This last statement here, friends, it is an emotional one, it is a solemn one that tells us that one day it will also happen to you. Transitions are permanent until there is the final transition. But here on earth, as we serve, let us serve in a way that as we make those transitions, there will be difficult transitions, not easy transitions. Please give yourself to that as you fulfill God's calling in your life. Don't be a person that people celebrate when you leave. Talk to people well. Give yourselves to the people. Attend their weddings. Go to visit them in the hospital when they are not well. Speak well to them. Correct them nicely when they're in mistakes. Smile to them. Not always do, you know, people don't know when you are annoyed, when you are happy. Just be good to people. I'm serious. Just be normal. It's no need of being abnormal. What a great chapter. Acts chapter 20. And therefore, Paul ends, I think, what he is trying to underline here is his ministry acceptability among the Gentiles as compared to his ministry among the Jews. But you remember, he was called as an apostle to the Gentiles. So please know where God has called you. Where he has called you, people will love you. People will be receptive to you. But as for others, God had called Peter primarily for the ministry to the Jews, though they didn't like him as well. What will be said when you finish your ministry in that office? What will be said when time for you to leave Valley Road is? Because all of us will leave Valley Road. No one will be left here to put off the lights. We'll all go. But what will be said of you? My prayer is that people will embrace you. People will cry. Because they will see there will be evidence of your impact in the lives of people. God loves people more than anything. This is your personal prayer. May the life of Paul be your life and in my life. Shall we pray? Oh God, we thank you that you can allow us to hear words like this in this season of our lives. Lord, I pray for each of these brothers and sisters that your word will truly can completely transform our lives. You who met Paul on the road to Damascus, you spoke to him. Lord, confront us also and speak to us. And give us a task, very clear task that we can do for you. That's our prayer, Lord. Refocus us. Allow us to reevaluate our lives and not leave you until you speak to us. Lord, for those of us you have spoken to already, we may be going through fears, difficulties, confusion, persecutions, difficulties. Like Paul, we pray, help us to complete the task. In spite of the difficulties, in spite of the troubles, help us to remain focused, to please you alone, you who alone who has eternal life. Thank you for speaking to us, and may you continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.